spilling the tea on Hollywood's A-listers.
I think that Drake is just being a misogynistic, you know, jerk.
Exposing scandals.
Cheating on me again. Cheating on me again. Cheating on me again. Oh, let's get married.
Digging the dirt.
Honestly, I don't know how much more rich she could get. Feels a little bit greedy.
And finding out what's happening behind the scenes.
He said in a couple of sentences about why he would never have a baby with her.
His identity is a secret, but he's broken some of the biggest scandals in Hollywood. It's Anti-Lawyer on Katie and Ed.
Anti!
Hola!
Hola, senor! Happy to have you back.
Happy to be back.
As always, this is our favorite part of the week.
Yeah.
Just talking about celebrity drama. We love it.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of drama, can we talk about the royal family? I feel like it's been, you know, since the Queen's passing, there hasn't really been a lot. But then this new book by this author, Omid Scobie, is making the rounds, and people are basically very triggered by some of the things that have been revealed. For example, that one time that Meghan and Harry did their little documentary and they talked about how a member of the royal family, you know, was essentially racist towards their child. And this book says that that was King Charles. What can you tell us about all of this?
Well, I mean, the fact that that came out, like the name or whatever, was not supposed to come out. Omid said that he never wrote a draft with the names in it.
Oh.
But somehow, in the Netherlands, they came up with it. So it's just like, in their copy, all of a sudden there's the names. And it's not just Prince Charles, it was also Kate Middleton was the
right.
other name.
So. Oh.
Now, knowing what you know, Anti, like, is that, are they valid choices?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Okay. I think a lot of this book has already been rehashed, and Omid has always said that he doesn't have direct contact with Meghan Markle or Prince Harry. But then, you know, Meghan testified in one of her trials that she had authorized one of her friends or whatever to be in contact with Omid.
Interesting.
And Omid at this point, his denials about that are getting a little bit weaker, and you could tell that he actually has like an insight, like somebody, he might not be talking to Meghan directly.
Okay.
But he's actually calling, he's talking to somebody who's Meghan's friend.
So wait, I was asking if it's like probable that King Charles and Kate Middleton are racist.
I don't think so.
Oh, you don't think they're racist? Okay, just clarifying. So you don't think they did what they are accused of doing?
I don't know if they said something about, because I don't know. Look, I can get some. One of the hardest things in gossip is this doesn't happen.
Wait, hold on. Say that whole thing over again, because you said one of the hardest things in gossip is, and like it's straight up cut off.
Yeah, one of the hardest things in gossip is to get anything like royal family wise. Right.
Okay. It's really on lockdown.
But things have changed because Meghan knows regular folk. So,
yeah.
You know, especially with Jessica Maroney or whatever, I mean, there was a lot of stuff that, you know, came out and, you know, she had friends and there was a lot of like, you know, people, you got stuff that you didn't normally used to get.
Mm-hmm.
The only time you'd ever get anything is if the royal family, like if, you know, Prince Harry went, you know, when he's in Calgary or whatever and gets drunk or goes to Vegas and gets naked
sure.
or whatever, you know,
right.
like
is it,
something like that.
Is it telling in any way that like with all of this circulating, the fact that neither Harry or Meghan are coming out to sort of like deny it, like they're not saying, oh no, that's not true, or would they not speak on it either way?
I think they're just letting the bombs drop.
Okay.
They're probably sitting back and enjoying it. I don't know.
Are they not trying to reconcile?
Yes, that's what I thought too. I thought they were trying to make everything better.
I don't think anybody's trying to make anything better, and I think that this would be like because how did the names get out?
Yeah.
Right. So it came, how did they get out? It makes zero sense. If you write a book, right?
Yeah.
And you don't mention the words Katie and Ed in the book.
Right.
Okay. You say, I never wrote the words Katie and Ed in this book.
Yeah.
But somehow in the Netherlands, a copy of the book, the printing of the book has the names Katie and Ed in it.
Hmm. So is there someone
else? How did he get there?
With an agenda?
Whoever's
here?
Translating the book into Dutch or whatever?
Or, I mean, it could be them. But again, how is this paragraph getting in there, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole point. It's like, okay, you have this book and it doesn't mention Katie or Ed. And then all of a sudden there's an extra paragraph in the book that mentions Katie and Ed. So the translator decided, I'm going to also write a paragraph. Oof. Or two paragraphs or a page. So that doesn't make any sense. So this Omid Scobie guy wrote it and I think was hoping because sales, like in England, they're already knocking the book down 50%.
Right.
So the sales are not as good as his first book. Because a lot of this stuff is just rehashed kind of stuff. And so how do you get people to buy the book?
Right.
Oh, well, let's get a little controversy. Let's get a little something.
So was his first book also about them?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wow.
That's kind of funny for someone who really has no ties to the royal family, just trying to make money off of them is kind of crazy.
Yeah. And like, look, I'm not an expert, but I do watch The Crown religiously. And I feel like that makes me an expert because the royal family so vehemently denies that so much of that show is true. That makes me believe that it is, in fact, true.
There you go. Yeah. So, yeah. So he makes a living off of it.
Okay.
Auntie, you know, love is in the air. We're so happy for loving couples. has Taylor moved into Travis Kelce's big new palatial mansion?
Is he her new cat daddy?
Yeah.
Katie.
I mean, but what is Taylor doing about her cats?
What do you mean?
I know. I haven't heard any mention.
She takes them everywhere. Yeah, she has like a backpack that they go in. It's true.
Was she allowed to take them out of the country, like to Brazil and stuff?
I don't know.
Ask Johnny Depp.
That's true. Amber, you know, they sneaked it in. So yeah, I mean, she's hanging out there, hanging out at the house.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder what she's doing all day.
Do you think she goes through his
it's
stuff?
Not like he,
I
like
would.
He has football practice all day.
Right.
Does she have a notepad? She makes notes on for lyrics. Ed. She's like going through his stuff.
Travis with hearts around his name. Right. And then she's like making notes about it.
I don't know. It is very odd. So I will see how long it lasts, long she can put up with the...
Why is it odd, though? This is what people do when they're dating. They eventually move in together.
I got that. I understand. But, like, her whole, like, world is New York.
Yeah.
And I guess she could, you know, she's hanging out with, you know, the Mahomeses and stuff like that. I just, you know, is she hanging out with the other wives and girlfriends? Or is she just puttering around, like Ed says, and looking through his stuff and writing down lyrics?
And there's rumors that they're going to spend Christmas in Nashville, I think. So maybe we'll get some, like, more squad content over there. I don't know. But let me ask you this, Enty, because I was on mat leave when a lot of the sort of Joe Taylor stuff happened. But the song she released yesterday... we all thought as Swifties that she wrote that after her and Joe broke up, but now it's been revealed she wrote it back in December of 2021. So is there a point where they broke up and got back together?
I think it was on again, off again. and I also don't know how they're going to spend Christmas in Nashville because the Chiefs play on Christmas Day.
Oh, do they?
So, yeah.
Well, you know me, I'm really a football fan, so I would have known that. I only know Taylor's schedule.
y'all became experts for a minute.
Well, hold up. What time do they play on Christmas?
I didn't mean right on Christmas.
They could play, and then after the game or whatever. I mean, they are playing a home game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess they could play in the morning and then fly to
The game's at 11 in the morning. Like, he's totally there that night for a little nutcracker and stuff.
But yeah,
it is a short week though. For them,
a lot of us thought that like her and Joe were like, oh my god, they were so in love for 6 years. But judging by this and just some of the other things that have come out, it sounds like maybe things weren't so good.
Well, I think that also you could tell when it ended that it wasn't good.
Yeah.
You know, nobody ever really saw them together towards the end and stuff. And I think that her going on tour is kind of what exposed the fact that they weren't together.
Right.
Because everybody's like, well, he's not there. How come he's not there?
And he was
and then
like,
they were like, oh no, he's going to be there. He's just acting somewhere like on a set of a movie, but he'll be here. And then they realized, okay, well, that will work for one weekend worth of shows, but what are we going to do for next week?
Yeah, because he was at, like, almost every Reputation show, as many as he could go to anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So, NT, you know, on your website, you reveal blind items, and they're so fun to see along the way to see if you were right. But there was the one that you posted about Taylor Swift in Brazil and the fan who passed away. And can you go into more detail about that? Because that's kind of interesting.
I think that, you know, the Taylor Swift machine was thinking of it in terms of a U.S. fatality. Like, we can't say anything, we can't do anything, because we're going to get sued.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily how it works in Brazil.
Right.
And I got so many things from people in Brazil who were really upset at her, because it felt like that they were ignoring, the whole team was ignoring the fact that Ana Machado had died.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, how come she's not saying anything? And Ana Machado is not the only person to have died. There's been three people at the Brazil concert who died.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There was one that got robbed on his way to the show and was stabbed to death.
Jeez.
That's so sad.
There was another one that also died of cardiac arrest after the show ended. Mm-hmm. And they were making their way home.
Wow.
And I think that a lot of people also were like, especially in Brazil, thought that the events production team was preventing fans from bringing in outside water because, hey, you know, we want to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Brazilian justice system, in between the concert that, you know, she had the postponed one and the next weekend, they ruled that the organizer has to allow the entry of water into the stadium, so that there was. And there's all these videos of fans begging for water during the show.
Yeah, and like Taylor throwing water bottles at them.
She did, but then she continued the show like nothing happened.
Right.
And, you know, after, you know, Anna died, you know, Taylor's there handing out some bottles of waters. And then after the show, she made a brief mention about fan theft, but didn't mention Anna's name. And I think a lot of people were like, hey, she's got a name, mention her name.
Did she know that Anna passed away, like, during the show?
Well, I don't know if some of the people in Brazil say yes. It's very difficult. And I mean, I was getting emails from people and they were like, source one, source two, source three, source four, link, uh-huh. link.
Okay.
And after that happened, neither the event team nor Taylor reached out to offer any assistance at all. And I think that they were thinking of it as a North American thing, where they are going to, if we give them assistance, then is that saying that we're guilty and we're going to get sued?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. They were thinking mm-hmm. about like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the fans' family was super poor. They didn't have the money to bring the body back to their city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I you know, saw the fans' that, body had to remain in Rio until other fans raised money to help the family cover the cost of transportation, the casket, the funeral, and the burial. How come Taylor didn't do that?
Like, I was on Twitter and I could see the GoFundMe being shared over and over by Brazilian Swifties, and like, they were able to raise enough to help the family, which to me was really bonkers, because I'm like, usually Taylor would be on that. Like, that's sort of her wheelhouse when it comes to assisting her fans' families and financially. Like, so it was weird.
Is that why it felt kind of ick when then she posted pictures with her family after?
Well, I know. I think that also, she was just so worried about getting sued. And then finally, I think there was enough pressure where it's like, okay, well, let's get the family here and let's invite them to a show.
Right.
And there were fans that boycotted the other shows. I mean, there's a ton of empty seats.
Hmm.
So I think that she, just what I was getting from people in Brazil was she did not handle it well. And just was handling it in a very North American manner.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Rather than something else. So, like, so worried about being sued or something.
Right. It was very business.
Let that take over everything. Yeah.
The emotional.
I mean, what
because
was she
an apology is an admission of guilt, basically.
Yeah. What was she supposed to do in that moment? Cancel the rest of the show? Like, what should she have done?
I don't know if she knew.
Yeah. Okay? Like, during.
So, I mean, she postponed, obviously, the next day.
Right.
And, you know, make sure that everything, okay, let's make sure water and stuff like that. I just think that, like you said, you saw the GoFundMe everywhere. Why didn't Taylor just say, hey, don't worry about the GoFundMe, I'm just going to write a check?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, there was the headline that, you know, things were with her family, like they had come to, like they had settled some things or whatever that means. But yeah, it was definitely just, even as a Swiftie, it felt off-putting. I was like, this is just a really strange situation. Like, this doesn't feel like Taylor. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel like the way she would usually handle or address. But then I also think, too, I didn't even see reports. Like, I've been following every show. I didn't even see reports of Anna's death until almost near the end, like on Twitter. So you're right. Like, who knows who knew when kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like a Travis Scott thing where everybody knew that people were dead.
Mm-hmm. Like, he could see it happening, and he was like, let's keep going.
Yeah.
There's an ambulance in the crowd. Let's go. Let's rave. Okay, let's talk about, first of all, there's a blind item on your website, and I'm not saying that it's, you know, coinciding, but it says the team can say whatever it wants, but everyone knows the athlete slept with the other athlete's mom. Corey Perry hooking up with Connor Bedard's mother. Did that happen?
I don't know. It's very confusing because what happened was Corey Perry got released.
Right.
And Connor Bedard obviously is a huge star. Corey Perry did win the Hart Trophy back in, I think, 2010 or 2011 or something.
Yeah.
As the most valuable player in the NHL. But, I mean, those times are gone. But he did get cut for something related to a team event where he was drunk.
Right.
So, alcohol related. Mm-hmm. So, maybe he wasn't sleeping with Connor Bedard's mom. Maybe he was trying to sleep with Connor Bedard's mom.
Or, like, talking about
How did the rumor, though, of his mom being involved at all even get started?
Well, because I think his mom was there.
Oh.
Somebody from the team goes, oh, you know, he's trying to hook up with Connor's mom. Or he was saying inappropriate things to Connor's mom, something like that. And then that gets translated to he's sleeping with Connor's mom.
Yeah.
And maybe he was.
But I think a lot. I think she is married to his dad still. She's not like a single hot old lady.
She's not like Stifler's mom.
Not like Stifler's mom. Jennifer Coolidge. Hashtag blessed. I mean, so yes, it's, I mean, I think that, you know, the Blackhawks have said it's not. I think that there was something going on with alcohol and Connor's mom.
Okay. Because, yeah, they were pretty vehemently denying.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, this absolutely has nothing to do with the other player's family. Anything to suggest otherwise is so inappropriate and terrible.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you know, just knowing from what you've told us about this kind of stuff, on the one hand, I'm like, I believe you. But then on the other hand, I'm like, you're really denying it.
Yeah.
Like,
well, the
that
other
makes
thing,
me
too,
suspicious.
Is like, athletes do. Hockey players, basketball players, football players, they are in all kinds of trouble all the time.
Yeah.
This, to me, the fact that it's blown up so much, it does make me think that something
it's not
like
impossible.
That did happen.
Yeah, because it's a long stretch to go from, oh, we're releasing Perry, to go, okay, why are we releasing Corey Perry? Just something went on with the team, and that's how they addressed it.
Yeah.
And then how do you get from that to sleeping with Connor Bedard's mom?
Yeah.
That's a big stretch.
Yeah,
that,
really
that,
big
that's
one.
That's a big gap that you're trying to fill.
I mean, I have a friend
but then
who...
all of a sudden you hear about the alcohol and stuff like that and everything, and you go, okay, well, now we're bringing the bridge kind of a little bit closer.
I had a friend who basically booked hotel rooms for a traveling sports team, and it was like, these are the rooms for the wives, and these are the rooms for the girlfriends. And then stuff just happens, like, all the time. But we don't hear about it.
And, you know, NBA players, especially, they stay at the same hotels in every city.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, right.
So, always. So, it's like the Lakers are not staying in a different hotel than, you know, the Timberwolves or whatever. They're all staying at whatever city they go to, they all stay at the same hotel.
Right.
And, you know, the women know that. And, you know, you do what you do, I guess, on the road.
Okay.
Unfortunate, you know, for Ariana Grande, you know, her marriage, is ending. Is there anything going on?
It ended and she's
sorry,
happy.
It has ended. Is there anything we should know about the divorce?
I mean, she had to pay out like $1.25 million. And I mean, they were married for 2 years. The dude gets a little over $1 million. I mean, lot over $1 million because also then the 50% of the profits from the sale of the house.
Right, right. Can you remind me again, what did Dalton Gomez do? Is he a real estate agent? Was that his job?
I mean, okay. He has a real estate license. I think that he didn't really have a lot of sales until he got together with Ariana.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, like, hey, Ariana, you know, introduce me to people and stuff like that.
Will we see him on Selling Sunset as the new broker?
Ooh, yeah. You know, it wouldn't be a horrible idea to do that. I don't know who he actually works for. I don't know if he works for the agency or not. I don't think he works for the Oppenheim Group. So, I mean, he'd have to, like, you know, switch over and stuff. And you guys can find out who he works for. I mean, it's all online, like the California real estate licenses and stuff. And you can see who works for who and stuff.
Sure.
But, and that's how you can also see, like, on Selling Sunset and everything, you go, oh, okay, well, wait a second. They're not working there anymore. So, you can kind of get a little advance notice on stuff.
Right.
Speaking of breakups, NT, this was not on our list, but I'm just reading, you know, Kelly Clarkson, would you say she had one of the biggest divorces? Was it of last year? I feel like it's all of
blur. Yeah, I mean, yeah, last couple of years for sure.
Yeah, I mean, any that was a big divorce, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm reading that her ex overcharged her.
What?
Because he was her manager, so now he has to pay her millions of dollars back, which is just so beautiful.
He's in the find out phase.
He was like the worst guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, this was a guy that she should have probably never married, and right. She probably wishes that she hadn't. And I would say that Reba probably wishes every day that she hadn't married Brandon's dad.
Right.
You know, it's just... You know, I just like, and the thing is, it's a very, people don't always realize it, but so managers are not technically allowed to go get work for you.
Oh, okay? I didn't know that.
It's so agents go and get the deals.
Right.
Okay. And technically agents aren't allowed to negotiate legal things and deals, but they do because technically a lawyer is supposed to do that. Managers do go get deals for people, but you're not supposed to, and it is against the law. But they do it anyway. But and she didn't care when they were married, where he gets gigs for her and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they get divorced, she's like, all right, you weren't supposed to do that kind of stuff. You're not an agent. You're a manager. So and you charge me whatever, 10% or whatever, so I want my money back.
Yeah.
So... You know, and it's like $2 or $3 million.
It's a lot of money.
And yeah, I mean, because of the fact that, you know, she should have used her agent, but it, like I said, it happens all the time. It literally happens all the time. There's this blurring of the lines between agent, manager, lawyer kind of thing.
I just think it's so interesting. It's like this guy is married to her and is also overcharging his own wife so that he can pocket money. Like, what a butthead.
Watch your language.
Again. Okay. Like, it's yes, he overcharged her, but it's not about that. It's about the fact that he wasn't allowed to book her gigs.
Right.
Because he was her manager.
Right.
So everything that he did in that sense, he wasn't allowed to take a commission, but she didn't care when they were married.
Right. I see.
But when, you know, then she went after him.
He's going to appeal, though, because, you know.
Well, I mean, of course. He's struggling financially, I'm sure.
Yes.
I don't know. She pays him a ton of money. I don't know how much she pays him, but it's a lot.
Well, didn't he also get the ranch? Wasn't that a whole thing? The ranch in Montana or whatever? He had, like, cameras set up and stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
It's very Yellowstone.
It was very Yellowstone. And, you know, they divided, like, each car, you know, went with something like that.
Yeah.
I think that he gets like a $1.3 million and he gets a bunch of child support money, like $50,000 a month.
Wow.
And then he gets spousal support payments, but only a little while, like only for like a year or something like that.
And her talk show is still doing really well, right? Like she's very successful.
Yeah. I'm not sure, you know, why she's went to New York and stuff. I mean, it's basically because her showrunner wanted to move back to New York and then somehow she convinced Kelly to move to New York, but I don't think that Kelly is going to end up staying in New York for a long time because I don't think she really likes it.
Okay. All right. Well, before we say adios, amigo, can you hit us with one of your very special famous blind items and we will pretend like we know what you're talking about?
Sure. So there is a Canadian actor. We're going to go with that again this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gosh, I don't think he's A-. We're going to call him B-plus list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he was on a very hit show, and he's trying to stay on that show, but he needs to negotiate something with a person who has accused him of stuff. And so he's really, really, he's never talked about it publicly or whatever, or admitted it or whatever, and has always denied everything. But behind the scenes, he's actually trying to make a deal with this person.
Oh.
Is his dad famous as well?
No.
Oh.
Hmm.
Okay.
It's not who I was going to. Because I feel like it's obviously not the Ryans. So who else is an actor from Canada that's big?
Drake's
not. I don't even know.
No, wait, Drake following a 16-year-old girl this week. I mean, on Instagram. That's...
Yeah.
Okay, well, MC... Love you lots.
Yeah, thank you.
Wheelchair Jimmy.
Wheelchair okay. Jimmy.
Talk to you next week.
I feel like you got COVID at Thanksgiving. Are you okay?
I'm very sick, but I pull through for you guys.
Oh, I'm so okay. Sorry. I hope you feel better.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, bye.
Talk to you next week.
Too.
Bye.
Bye.